Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello, everyone. This is Allison, and I welcome you to Visible by Numbers this evening. Thank you so much for being here. And a big thanks to Don and BBS Radio for this opportunity to be here each and every week with you guys. I also wanted to thank Chet Nichols for our lovely new intro to Visible by Numbers. Thank you, Chet. If this is your first time listening to Visible by Numbers, the show is all about numerology. We look at it from every aspect, from empowering you by teaching you how to use it to live a more happier, healthier, and purposeful life, to doing readings to demonstrate how insightful understanding your personal numerology can be, and also by explaining how all spiritual philosophy can be found within the knowledge of numerology. Perhaps some of you don't even really know what numerology is, so I'll just kind of give a brief explanation here, especially for those that are new to the show. You and everything else in our universe has a distinct vibration, and your vibration can be determined by the numbers found in your very own personal numerology chart. You might be sitting there and you might be wondering, well, how can a number, how can it give you insight into your energy or your vibration? We add numbers, we subtract numbers. What do numbers have to do with it? Well, numerology is really based upon physics, which is the science of the laws governing motion, matter, and energy. In physics, we learn that everything exists within the realm of vibration and vibration frequency. We learn that everything from an inert rock and minerals to the organs of your body to the very sound of your name all have a distinct rate of vibration. To measure that vibration, we need numbers. Numbers are the keys to all mysteries as they unlock the vibrational content of any and all things. Numbers really are the oldest symbols of past generations, and numbers truly are a universal language. To help you understand, numerology is the study of the spiritual qualities of the numbers. In other words, numbers have meaning. Numerology finds your numbers from your date of birth and name given at birth, which in essence is a measure of your personal vibration. Now, numerology has roots in ancient cultures such as Rome, Egypt, Greece, China, even has ties to the Hebrew Kabbalah. It is founded upon the teachings of Pythagoras, who was a 5th century Greek mathematician, philosopher, and mystic, who traveled extensively in his lifetime, and he had the opportunity to study with the greatest religious leaders of that time in history. Numerology teaches us that there's no randomness to the day you were born, nor the name you were given. It was your soul's choice. Both the name you were given and the day you were born are the roadmap to your soul's energy in this lifetime. Your numbers identify your energy and the energy which influences your life. Now, on tonight's show, the phone lines will be open for the duration of the show, and I'll be taking your calls whether maybe you have a question about numerology in general. Or perhaps you might like me to do a numerology reading for you. So I'm going to remind you of what the numbers are. You can call toll-free in the USA at 1-877-876-5227. Toll-free from Canada, 1-888-810-8322. And in California, you can call direct at 530-876-3222. In the meantime, I'm just going to talk about numerology. I've got some things to discuss and go over with you guys, some interesting things. One thing that people have always asked me is just what exactly is a numerologist? And besides, they, you know, even if they understand what numerology is, what does a numerologist actually do? And I kind of look at it as a numerologist as being a medium of sorts who uses the numbers to connect to unseen energies, maybe even the deeper dimensions of the spiritual realm. You know, quite like a psychic or a medium, a numerologist reads the energy around you. But the big difference is that a numerologist's doorway to that information, to that psychic information, is in your numbers themselves. Now, a good numerologist spends years studying this ancient divination tool. And probably in the process of seeking the knowledge itself, a numerologist can't help but fine-tune their own intuitive abilities. So I really think that most numerologists are very intuitive and very psychic. Hi, caller, I'll be with you just a second, okay?
Okay.
When a numerologist connects to your numbers, a story unfolds and there's a lot of information that begins to flow. And these numbers begin to talk about you, you as a person and the destiny of your soul in this lifetime. I know many of you have heard of the Akashic Record and how these records contain all the information of your soul's journey since the moment of your soul's birth. Well, numerology is, in my humble opinion, a very important piece of your Akashic Record, perhaps the piece that pertains to you in this lifetime. It also can give you a great deal of insight to what your soul has gained from past lifetimes as well. There's so much information to be found in your numerology chart that it literally can take over an hour just to get through a basic chart. Information such as what your specific energy blueprint is, in other words, what makes you you, what your soul came to accomplish, what challenges you're working on in this lifetime to overcome, what your specific opportunities are in this lifetime. It looks at your past, your present, and your future. Your numerology explains experiences in your life, and it validates how you feel and what you have learned. Your numerology gives you great perspective and insight about yourself and your life. And frankly, I can go on and on, but I think I've got a caller here. So who's calling, please?
My name is Dorothy.
Hi, Dorothy. How are you this evening?
Great. I'm excited. Finally,
well, good.
Connect with you.
Wonderful. Did you want me to do a reading for you? Is that why you called?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, super. Can you give me your date of birth, please?
March 28,
1951. Okay. March 28, 1951, correct?
Correct.
All right. Give me a second here, and I'm just going to look at Dorothy. You spell your name D-O-R-O-T-H-Y?
Correct.
Okay. Gives me a little insight there. Excuse me. Now, Dorothy, when I do the readings on air, basically this is just a small piece of your numerology, okay?
Right.
I can't really take your full name on air, the name that was given to you at birth, but this does give me a little bit of information, quite a bit of information about you. So that's what I'm looking at right here, just the information that comes from the date of birth. One of the first things that I would want to tell you is that, do you know much about numerology at all, Dorothy?
A little bit.
Okay. Do you understand that you're an 11 life path? It's a master life path?
Yes.
Okay. Do you understand the meaning of what that means, or do you want me to just tell you?
No, I understand the meaning of it.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if you see what you see in the next month or two that's coming into my life, or
okay, what's coming in? So you basically understand your life path and your okay. Let's look at your challenges just first.
Yes.
And let's see, you're in your last pentacle. So really, what you kind of want me to do is kind of look at the energy that's around you at this time, and that's what I'll do. Okay?
Right, that'd be great.
Okay, so what we have here is you're in a one pentacle, which you began this pentacle at age 53. And it's very fortunate in many, many ways to have a one pentacle in your latter years of life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Very important to have it in that position, because in order to be in a position of leadership, you really need some experience behind you. It doesn't do you a lot of good to have a one pentacle if you're a child. And, you know, you're, 10 and 11, what is that going to do for you? But when you put it into the last pentacle of life,
mm-hmm.
which is the vibration that you're in for the rest of your life, this gives you a great deal of opportunity. But one of the things that the one pentacle wants to teach you is your own self-worth, what you're capable of doing. And there's going to be many, many challenges that come your way where you might find that you're standing on your own two feet without the support of other people, where you're finding that you're going to have to do it yourself. And so a lot of what this pentacle is saying is this has to be done by your own hand, something that you do. And there's a wonderful opportunity in a one pentacle for success, to reach, to become a leader, to lead others, to be very innovative, very creative, And it's really a very powerful pinnacle. But there's obstacles to be overcome regarding your own worth. I mean, you're constantly being taught during this pinnacle just what you're capable of. And so perhaps in the past, maybe you've set the bar a little low or you didn't think you could accomplish certain things. But this pinnacle is going to keep showing you that you are capable of far more than you ever realized. Now, when we look at the cycle that you're in, this is a seventh cycle. So we know that this is very spiritual, and there's a lot of, anything having to do with the spiritual, having to do with using your energy in that arena is going to bode well for you. Learning, certainly wanting, seeking more knowledge, expansion of your inner self, your spiritual self, your intuitive abilities, that comes in as well right now at this time in your life after the age of 53. This is the seventh cycle. Now, the personal year that you're in at this moment is a four. So, and you have a four challenge. So this is a tricky year for you because whenever you've got a year and you're challenged to it, obviously, you know, you've got to be a little bit on the careful side, okay? Now, what the four year wants of you, is asking of you, is for you to, you know, get down to business, to pay attention to details, to be very organized in everything that you do. And that's like reining yourself in and not allowing yourself to be distracted. Now, your 11 life path, that psychic, spiritual energy, that inspirational energy has a tendency to be a little bit ungrounded and a little bit scattered and a little bit of a dreamer and having a hard time doing, like being able to take the things that you want to do and actually do them. So in a four personal year, this year gives you the opportunity to really build it into form, to really put in a lot of time and effort. You absolutely can take that dream and build it into something really real this year. But it's going to take you paying a lot of attention to details, organizing everything around you. What I see for you for next year, which is 2008, is a lot of change comes in for you because you're coming in with this 5 year. So whatever you're doing this year, next year, you're going to find that it's going to expand and it's going to get bigger and bigger. And you might even decide to, like, go off in a, you know, you might be doing one thing, but you might decide to kind of, like, expand it by bringing in something else that goes with what you do. It's a really good year for you for self-promotion. I mean, shamelessly self-promote yourself next year. This year, it's hard work getting down to details, but next year, you can absolutely, send out resumes or send out announcements about your work or what it is that you do. You can talk to people, be seen and be seen, do workshops. A lot of communication can come in a four-year. And it's all going to bode very well for you because really you can do no wrong when it comes to career-wise. You know, it expands you. It gives you more opportunities. And you're also will be able to change things, like trade up next year or trade down. I mean, sometimes in a 5 year, you might make a bad decision as opposed to a good one, but you get the opportunity to change the things in your life that you know, where you're ready for change. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, you're wanting to look at specific months for you this year. You're in an 8 month this year, 8 months in a 4 year. Okay, so that's a lot of financial, paying attention to details, you know, you don't, any law contracts, anything that you sign, you really got to be really careful, especially with a 4-8 combination. But it should be, you know, you're concerned with a little bit more with finances and that sort of a thing in April because it's an 8 month. Next month, I can see where there's letting go, but in June, you get an opportunity comes in for you. So I don't know what you're do exactly, but in June you might see something new being offered to you, a new opportunity. And I can definitely tell you that if you really want to see the trend of where your upcoming 2008 is, get out a journal and at the beginning of October, start journaling what goes on in October for you because that's your 5 months this year. And usually that's a very good foreshadowing of what's coming for you the next year. So in October, you will see this year, you will see where you've been able to expand and grow in what it is you do, and that's just a little inkling of what's going to come in for you in 2008.
Oh, thank you. Sounds exciting.
So does all that make a little sense to you, Dorothy?
Yes, it does. It very much does. I'm trying to work for this one physician, and the practice will be opening up sometime next year, but I'm assuming, I'm thinking that somewhere September, October is when he'll be hiring.
Oh, yeah.
I've been putting my
so you're looking for possibly
right
a job in October.
Right. That's what I'm hoping.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really excited about this opportunity.
Yeah, I think you, definitely in October, you've got a five, and that's going to tell you what's going to be going on for you 2008. That's going to bring you change. It's going to bring you, in 5 months, people change jobs or get a new
right
job or do something different. So you're on track. Sounds
all
good.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for calling, Dorothy.
I appreciate it, and God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, so that's pretty much an example. If I was to do your reading, that's just based on your date of birth. I mean, we're not even getting into your name there. We're just talking about the day that you were born. When it really kind of leads me to kind of the next point that I was going to get to. You know, so many people, you know, tell me I'm on 8-life path, 5-life path, whatever, as if that's a definitive number that describes their energy. And it's always, for numerologists, we always kind of sit there and we smile because that really has nothing to do with the full picture. That's just a tiny piece of the puzzle. I kind of look at a numerology chart as being a tapestry that's woven number by number until we finally see the full picture of that particular person and what their energy is. And the date of birth, what I just did for Dorothy, that's just a tiny piece of it. When we bring in a person's name, and we start to work with a name, and we put those numbers in with the life path number, with the date of birth, we begin to look at how the expression number, the heart's desire, the personality, and how that all works with the challenges and the pentacles. That really gives a full picture. And another thing that people, you know, even numerologists sometimes don't really understand is the beginning part of the chart when you're talking about a person's name and you're talking about their date of birth and you're talking about those five core numbers that come in with that information from those two things. That's talking about the energy of that person. The challenge numbers come in from the date of birth and they're talking about what possible things they came to overcome. But the pinnacles, when you get into that aspect of the chart, the pinnacles, we get into the pinnacles, the cycles, the essences, the personal years, and even the personal months. We're talking about energy still, but this is a different kind of energy. This energy actually creates your experiences. This is what allows you to make use out of your talents and abilities. This is the energy that really works in tandem with your particular energy for either good or bad, because you know you have certain energy. You want to hope that the pinnacles are going to allow you to use that energy. And to give you a little example of what I mean there, if a person had particularly artistic numbers in their life path and their birthday, in their name, numbers like a 3, a 6, or a 9, one would hope that when we got to the pinnacles, which are determining the energy, you know, of the potential of what they can do with their talents and abilities, these are the numbers that create the experiences in their life. We would hope that they would have 3, 6, and 9 pinnacles or some kind of pinnacles that would allow them to use their artistic ability. And sometimes it's kind of interesting to me when you look at someone with a great deal of artistic ability and we see that there's a lot of limitations in their life, or we see that what the universe wants to allow them is something completely different from what their energy is. And this is all the kind of information that a numerologist would look at when they're looking at your chart. It's very complex. It takes many, many years of study. But all of those numbers are interacting at all times when you're looking at charts. You know, a full chart is actually, I don't know, it's probably, I would say, 40, 50 numbers, you know, at first glance before you get into it, even deeper. So that's a lot of energy to look at, and that's a lot of energy that's telling you a story. Now, one of the things that I wanted to discuss tonight was the soul purpose. You know, what does the soul seek, and how does a numerology chart talk about that? How does a numerology chart get into what your soul came to accomplish? And, you know, we all know that, you know, from what we understand spiritually, that the soul comes in seeking to elevate its consciousness and its vibration. And from looking at numerology charts, sometimes, you know, we see these lessons that are written into the charts. We see things that almost seem impossible to escape. And I often sit there and I just know that you cannot underestimate the wisdom of the soul in planning out this person's life, this soul's life. You know, it takes the experience of many lifetimes that have taught the soul much about achieving its goals. And we all have to understand the concept that we have to separate our ego, the part of ourself, which often does not consider life on a soul level, but rather on a more material or earthly view. Our ego judges life by what it perceives to be a success, which can be love or money, careers, or even fame. Now, our soul judges success by things such as overcoming fear, overcoming lack of self-worth, it's dealing with insecurities, learning what discipline is, understanding love, learning compassion, and things like that. Many gifts and talents and opportunities are shown in a numerology chart, but right along with them are the soul lessons, and they are equally important, because the soul deals with challenges and life lessons in each lifetime. And it's oftentimes it's in the challenges and the lessons that we turn our weaknesses into strength, and from there is the soul growth. Perhaps the soul came to learn about compassion or how to be compassionate. So in that soul's experience, they may have experienced times when they were in need of compassion. They might even have chosen to be the victim of a wrongdoing. Another example of a soul might learn self-love is in that soul might bring in a circumstances or an experience that would create a lack of self-esteem for them, a self-worth. And the soul is basically experiencing that in order to learn how to overcome it. An example is they might even come in and choose to be born into a family where, you know, no encouragement or praise is given, or where the child might be undermined or their self-esteem is undermined. All of these lessons and challenges are written into your chart along with other information about your talents and abilities. And we go on the assumption, you know, that you know, how we go about learning. Well, you learn from adversity as much as you learn from good experiences. Both teach, and so good experiences as well as difficult experiences are written into charts. Now, what I wanted to do, you know, to just kind of take some examples of actual people and take examples of perhaps soul lessons that are written into charts, and I've picked out a few people that I think their charts are interesting, and so I thought I'd, you know, discuss this and what I mean, what I'm talking about, souls coming to learn things. Now, you all heard the headlines recently about Don Imus and the trouble that he got into for choosing the wrong words on his radio show. Now, you know, whenever I hear of something like that, the first thing I'm going to do is, you know, look up their biography and kind of look at their chart to see what's going on. I mean, that's how curious I have always been about numerology. I've always been interested in people's biographies. I've always been interested in, you know, what the chart has to offer as far as insight as to what's going on in their lives. So the first thing I did was do his check his biography and do his numerology. And when I look at his numbers, I can see that this is a person that comes in, a very powerful person that's interested in success, very ambitious, very driven. This is the kind of person that judges their life by achievements and accomplishments. He has an 8 life path. So, you know, people of power are going to be part of his experience by having an 8 for a life path number. His birthday is a 23, so here we've got someone who has an ability to communicate, because people that have 5 energy are natural-born communicators. You add the 2 + 3 together, and you've got a natural-born communicator. His expression is 6, so, you know, this is generally a person that's social, that gets along well with others, and also someone who cares a great deal about other people. And you might sit there and you might say, well, I don't know if I quite got that from Don Imus. But, you know, when I was looking at his biography, I saw that he and his wife actually had a charitable organization for children, which actually surprised me because I didn't know that. So that bodes a lot into this sixth expression, that he is a caring person. Now, the heart's desire number is a very telling number because this is a karmic number. This is a 16, and a 16 always indicates that his soul brought in a lesson from a past life. And it's an agreed lesson. The soul sought to maybe learn something a little bit more or more in depth, but it brought this lesson into this lifetime. This is a 16-7 heart's desire. So what does that mean? Well, when you have a 16-7, I mean, things that you really have to be careful about is your ego, your pride. You have to be very careful to walk a very spiritual path, to not be, you know, too puffed up about yourself. You really need to remain humble throughout life. And a 16-7 always promises that there are going to be times where if you're not following the path, you actually can get knocked down and have to start over, or there'll be experiences that happen in your life that can be quite humbling for you. So I thought that was interesting that you find that in the heart's desire for him. And his maturity number says, you know, his life is going to, after the age of 50, his life is really going to become a little bit of a roller coaster. So nothing really wants to stay constant with him. There's a lot of ups and downs for him for the rest of his life. You know, things will change for him. Now, what does this have to do with a lesson? Well, when I look at where he is in his life right now at this particular time, it's very interesting because his essence at this time is a 13-4. And you're all going, well, I don't know what that means, Allison, and I know you don't, but let me tell you what it means. A 13-4, one of them, it's a karmic number again, but one of the key lessons, one of the lessons for a 13-4 person that's experiencing that energy is to be very, very careful how you say things, because fours can be very, very blunt when they express things. Sometimes it can even come out to be a little bit on the hurtful side. Even though their intentions were maybe not meant to hurt people, it's just the way that they say it comes out wrong, and it creates havoc. And so I found it very interesting to find that number in his vibration, in his essences, which is derived from his name, which is a birthday-to-birthday vibration, and that's right there in his chart right now. He's in a three-year, and he's in, you know, this is saying in a three pentacles, so that's saying the universe wants to give him the opportunity to be out there talking. It wants to give him the opportunity to be on stage. It wants to give him the opportunity to have people pay attention to him. But nevertheless, this 13-4 lesson comes in during this time and is saying, be careful of how you say things. Now, if I was to do a little prediction for Imus, I'm going to just be a little bit concerned about. This is a little bit of the tip of the iceberg for him in the sense that I can see where this is definitely an upsetting time for him. Not a good time, but I don't think it's over. And I can honestly say that when I look at his vibration for next year, 2008, I'm looking at double four energy between the essence and also the personal year. And normally whenever you see that, that always means that that's a difficult year for that person. And I would be, you know, I would be concerned of him not letting everything, the stress of everything that's happening, and, you know, be very careful with his health and whatnot next year, because it's not going to be an easy year. It's not going to go away. And I think the other really interesting thing about looking at his chart was the fact that April for him was a 7 month. Now, you remember what I said about his heart's desire being the 16-7, and that's, you know, the humbling experiences that come in with the 16-7. I just think it's interesting that it happened in a 7 month. So that's just an example of lessons that come in and how it can be shown in a chart. And I think one of the beautiful things about numerology, and when you understand this, when you look at your chart and you have somebody interpret it and you truly understand, sometimes you can look back on your life and you can actually look back at experiences that you had and perhaps things that you looked at in a very negative way, like perhaps you failed at something or perhaps you didn't choose the right decision. But numerology really teaches you that everything happens for a reason, and it's written in your chart. And as energy comes in, it creates these experiences for you. And as I said when I was discussing what we perceive to be excess is money and love and children and family and whatever it is that you perceive to be a success, well, the soul has a different agenda. And so sometimes perhaps, you know, in the case of Imus, maybe, you know, his soul lesson was to think very carefully about how you say things and to also take into consideration the repercussions of what it is that you say and to be more sensitive to the feelings of other people. And perhaps that's the lesson that lies there in his chart. Same thing goes for you when you're looking back. You know, you have a numerologist do your chart, and there may be something that sits in your past that you have guilt about or regrets, or perhaps you're beating yourself up over it. But you may very well find that with a very detailed analysis of your numerology, that it actually is a soul lesson that came in. And instead of feeling bad about it, I think what a numerologist can actually do is to teach you and show you that you really need to celebrate the lesson that was taught during that time. Because adversity teaches. And so when you learn the lesson, that is indeed a triumph for your soul. Okay, once again, I'm going to... I've got a few more charts I want to do, but I also wanted to give the numbers again. If anyone would... if you have a numerology question, by all means, if you didn't understand what I said or you have a question about what I said, you know, give me a call. I'd be happy to answer your questions. And if you would like me to do a reading based on your date of birth, I'd be happy to do that as well. The toll-free numbers are 1-877-876-5227 for the USA. And for Canada, it's 1-888-810-8322. And you can call direct from California, 530-876-3222. And as long as I'm on the subject of questions, I do receive questions from an email from some of my listeners, and I wanted to let all of you know that you're more than welcome to email me with your numerology questions, and I will, you know, sometimes I'm able to give you the answer on air, and if I can, if that's not possible, I'm more than happy to email you with a response. So if you want to, got a question and you want it answered, just email me at visiblebynumbers@yahoo.com, and you can also contact me through my website at www.visiblebynumbers.com. All right, now another chart that I thought was particularly interesting, and in my pile of paperwork I got to find her, was Martha Stewart. And just give me a second, I'm like, well, maybe we'll have to switch to a different chart. Hold on. Okay. Well, let's switch to Cassius Clay or Muhammad Ali. In the meantime, in this pile of paperwork, I'll find Martha. But anyhow, I thought that his chart was another example of someone who, you know, there was a lot of lessons that came into his lifetime, and they're clearly, you can clearly see them as you start to go through his essences. If you start to look at the energy, you can see what was going on. Now, first off, Muhammad Ali was a 16-7 life path, and we mentioned with Imus that he had it in his heart's desire. Well, it's much more profound when it's found in a life path number. That usually means rise to fall, rise to fall. And the whole gist of what a 16-7 life path is it's taking you to a place of great faith. But in the meantime, there's a lot of ups and downs, and there's a lot of transformations. And there's times when you have to start your life over again, 360-degree turns, where you're building from the bottom back up again. Now, the 16 is talking about in a past life that you were in some fashion involved in a relationship, a love affair, where somewhere, somehow, somebody lost everything. And you were part of that. And so when the soul comes in this lifetime and it brings in that lesson of the 16-7, obviously it wants to learn about that. And sometimes what that lesson can be is for you to find out what it feels like to lose everything. And so when it comes to his life story, there were many, many ups and downs with his career, with his fighting, losing his title. I mean, I know a lot of you ladies probably don't really know what went on with his biography or his life story, but there was many, many times when he rose to fall. And I just think that it's extraordinary when you look at his chart and you see what's going on, how this worked out and how it panned out in his life. And so in those times of adversity for him, when they took away his championship, that really was a soul lesson. It probably didn't appear like a soul lesson to him at the time, but indeed that's what it was. And the other thing that I think is interesting about his chart is his expression number is an 11 expression. And so this guy was really meant to be in the limelight. He was really meant to be out in front of people. I mean, this is not somebody that was going to be in the background. And so, you know, as he lives his life and everything that went on with his life, it is pretty much written in his chart for what it is that he came to do. In many, many ways, he was a messenger for us. I think that's a really interesting chart. Now, I have another sheet here that I think is kind of cool. And I think this is one of my funnier, in all of my studying of the different biographies that I do, I think that this one was particularly funny. Y'all know Larry King, right? And I looked at this biography, and I was kind of smiling somewhat when I found out what his birth name was. His birth name was actually Lawrence Harvey Ziegler. And so I was sitting there, and I was looking at that. But as soon as you look at his life path and his birthday, he's a one life path and a one birthday. And so, I don't know, I just kind of thought about how humorous that was, because the name at birth was Lawrence Harvey Ziegler, but the name that he chose was Larry King. And if you understand the meaning of the one is always wants to be the leader, wants to go where no man has gone before. He wants to be in charge of his own life, his own destiny, someone who enjoys the limelight, enjoys being in charge. And I just, I don't know, that just kind of cracked me up that he chose the name King. I don't know if you can appreciate that. Now, I think getting to some other ones here, let's see. I think Anna Nicole Smith was an interesting chart. And I also found it a little bit upsetting in the sense that the year that her son died, she actually had, you know, it was very clearly written in her chart that this was a lesson for her. It was what is called duality in numerology. And what duality is when your personal year matches your essence number. Personal year comes from your date of birth. Your essence number comes from the name you were given at birth. And when those two match at the same time in your life, quite often for people, that there's a lesson that comes in during that time, and quite often that lesson is not necessarily an easy one. I think that was interesting. When you look at her chart, we look at someone who comes in as an eight life path, and certainly people that have eight energy are the movers and shakers of the world. These are the people who definitely look for achievement, success. They want the best things in life. They want to have good things in life. And so we know that achievement was important to her, and having money and success was important to her. But her expression was the 16-7. So we've been talking about that a little bit here tonight, and I'll let you think about that for a minute. And so really, you know, the balancing for her was supposed to be not only the material, but also the spiritual as well as the emotional. And it was really important for her, based on the energy in her chart, to balance out all three of those things, you know, simultaneously and not let one go for the other. Meaning sometimes with AIDS, they try so hard to succeed that they're not taking care of their relationships, or sometimes they strain so hard for achievements that they're not taking care of their spiritual. And so consequently, it is really important for people to have eight energy to balance it all out. So that was a particularly interesting chart for me. Still looking for Martha. I've lost her. Oh, there she is. Okay. I think with Martha, again, we have an eight life path and a 16-7. So make a little comparison at this point between the two. With Martha, though, she has a huge quantity of eight in her chart, as opposed to Anna. Anna didn't have as much eight energy. So Martha really was, if I was looking at a chart, I would probably call her an overachiever. And I would call her a perfectionist as well, because that seven's always going to make you a perfectionist at what you do, an expert at what you do. So Martha really parlayed her knowledge about home and hearth into, you know, a really wonderful business. And she was a very ambitious and a woman that really desired to achieve many, many things. And I think what's interesting, when we look to the essences and we look, when you're kind of looking for that soul lesson, the one time when you know, Martha got in trouble with the trading, insider trading or whatever, that is clearly written in her chart. It's actually shown in the essences. And so when I was looking that over, looking at her biography, looking at her motivations, knowing that money was important to her, and also seeing that lesson sitting there in the essences, I just thought that that was another confirmation and validation about the fact that as souls, we actually bring these lessons in, and they are written into our charts. I'm going to stop for a second because I think I heard a beep. Hello?
Hi, Allison. It's Terry.
Hey, Terry. What's up?
How are you?
Good. Do you got a question for me?
I do have a question. So I'm listening to the show, and I'm hearing you say, so the lessons come through our essences, is that right?
Well, not necessarily the essences, but that's one really clear place where you can find them. I find them because I study the essences so much, and I also, the duality that comes in there, that really is almost like a flag in your chart that would indicate something that comes in as a lesson. But the lesson can also be shown in many, many places, even the way that the numbers themselves are configured in the top of the chart, having an overabundance of a certain kind of energy, being challenged with that energy. Sometimes if a person doesn't have a lot of four, which means discipline, doesn't have a lot of discipline, they may not have, they may have a lot of four pentacles. And certainly if you don't have that energy to begin with, and the universe is going to make you go through these pentacles where you have to be disciplined, you've got to look at that and realize that that's a lesson for that soul.
Okay.
So it's in many, many places, is my answer.
It's important to look at the pinnacle as well as the essences to see
what
the lessons are.
Sure. I would look for karmic lessons, number one, because that's always an indication that the soul wants to learn something or wants to understand something on a deeper level. And it is a lesson that's brought in from a past life. So if a person has karmic numbers, absolutely. You would want to look for even in the essences, quite often when you're configuring the essences, which they come from the letters in the name, you'll find that as it adds up, it actually adds up to a karmic number. So a person may not necessarily have a karmic number in their life path, birthday, expression, heart's desire, personality, but you could find that those karmic numbers in the essences. So that is a really good place to look. But, you know, it's many, many places, challenges, you know. If a person is challenged to something, let's say you're challenged to a three, which means you're inhibited, okay? You have a hard time expressing yourself. You don't want to be in the limelight. And then when you look at your pinnacles, and what the pinnacles are saying is, I'm going to give you this opportunity. I'm going to push you into the limelight. This is going to be where the experiences that we're going to give you, we're going to constantly be on your case to make you step into the limelight. Well, one has to assume that the lesson is in that pinnacle for that person to learn to express themselves and be comfortable and love who they are and to be at ease with expressing themselves. And so you have to kind of even look there and say, this isn't going to be easy for you, but this is what the pinnacle wants you to do, and you've got a problem with it because you're challenged to it. You understand?
Yeah, so it's best just to sort of, when you're feeling challenged, really consult with you and go to the chart, and it'll just help the lessons maybe come a little bit more easily.
If you understand the vibration, if you understand your challenges, that's a big thing. If you understand any karmic numbers in your chart, that's a really big benefit. But I think if you really want to start pinpointing when the actual lessons come in, I think that that's when you really need somebody that has, you know, a much higher level of understanding of numerology to kind of look at that for you and be able to pinpoint those times for you. But, you know, anything that you can do to learn about yourself, learn about numerology, is going to bode well, you know, helping you to get through this stuff. So
Right. It'll ease the severity of the lesson because you understand that this is
the stage
that you're coming into. And so you go in a little bit more prepared and anticipate, and maybe through that knowledge, the lesson doesn't need to be so harsh, right?
Right, exactly.
Because you're not resisting it. You're
right,
not
exactly.
It. You say, it's like school for the soul, if you will.
Yeah, kind of like having the medicine. It's just taking it, you know. If, it's, if you're undisciplined, if that's one of your challenges, then, you know, quite often what I will tell someone that has that challenge, they're in a four-year, maybe a four-pinnacle, and you know that experiences keep coming in that's telling this person, you've got to be efficient. You've got to pay attention to detail. So what I would tell that person is okay, you got to start somewhere. So wherever you're disorganized in your life, whether it's your computer desk, your underwear drawer, I don't care where it is. You've got to start organizing everything and be efficient, and you've got to pay attention to that. And you, when, especially when it comes to your job and what it is you do for a living, you've got to pay attention and make yourself, start, even if you've never made a list in your life, start making lists, because you've got to face that challenge. And so if you know what the remedy is, it's so much easier going into it, just like you said, school for the soul.
Right.
I kind of like that school for the soul.
Great.
I write that down.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Okay. Well, thanks.
Okay. Well, thanks. Thanks for your question. Appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. So anyhow, I hope that what I've been saying, what I've been talking about, gives you a little bit of insight that, you know, numerically and your chart is really, you know, quite like what Terry and I were saying. And what I said before, that these things are written into your chart. And the most important thing to remember, and I can't stress this enough, is there's so much positive that's written into a numerology chart. And about your talents, your abilities, about the wonderful things that you can do, the opportunities in your life. The adversity is written there as well. But those are also, these are things to celebrate once you've learned stuff, you know. Once you've actually learned a lesson and you've gone through it and you've become wiser and smarter, it only serves to raise your vibration and to raise your consciousness and make you a better person. And so we forget to celebrate those things. We forget. We forget to celebrate these lessons, these small little lessons that come in throughout our life. And that's if anything, I want to stress that most importantly. Okay. Now, I did get a question from someone in Visible by Numbers in my email. And this person asked me what my best advice was on how to go about learning numerology. And what I would say is before you even begin to think about calculations or even getting into anything like that, you really got to understand the numbers themselves. And that's very important because the numbers represent energy. So I would really suggest that anyone that's thinking about studying, start with the mindset of actually feeling the numbers, feeling that energy. There is what's called keywords for every numbers, and any numerology book is going to have a set of keywords. They'd be the positive, they'd be the balanced, some call them negative, positive, balanced, unbalanced. But you want to pay attention to the keywords for every single number. And as you look over the list of keywords for each number, take the actual keyword and apply it to an example of how a person might act if under the influence of that particular keyword or energy. Now, I'd like to give you a little example there. For example, if a keyword for the energy for the number one is independent. So a person who is independent, you've got to think about this, feel this for a second. They wouldn't really want a lot of help from other people. They might prefer to do it by themselves, by himself or herself. An independent person would require not that much direction and would most likely rely upon themselves for their own needs. And really what you would want to do as you're studying these things is think about how this could be a very positive thing for this person, but also consider how if taken to extremes, it could become a very negative trait. For example, if a person with this one in their energy and this independence, you know, perhaps they don't ask anybody their opinion, you know. Perhaps they just do it all on their own and they never ask for help, they never ask for advice. Well, You know, immediately you're talking about the hard knock school of life, because you have to learn from trial and error and from experience. So being too independent really sometimes can't be a bad thing. The good thing about being independent is that you don't rely on other people, that you don't expect them to take care of you. You can take care of yourself. And so that's one of the good things to think about the word independent. Giving you another example even, the key word for the energy of number two is being a diplomat or being diplomatic. Now, when you think about this energy, a person who is diplomatic is willing to compromise more than most, and as such would tend to give in or do what is best for the greater good rather than choose for their own personal needs. Now, I want you, as you're studying numerology, as you're looking at these keywords, think about how could being a diplomat be a very positive thing, and then consider how, if taken to extremes, it could become a very negative trait. You know, a diplomat, you know, someone that can bring about peaceful resolutions, somebody that can be the middle ground between two opposing parties, wonderful things. But if you're the kind of person that needs so much harmony in your life that you're afraid to stand up for yourself or your own personal needs, you end up being a rug. You end up being, you know, giving away pieces of yourself in order to make other people happy. So being diplomatic is a wonderful thing, but taken to extremes, it actually can be hurtful to you as a person, because you really never get what you need out of life. So that's what I mean about feeling the numbers. The point that I'm really making here is balance is everything with the numbers. In order to truly understand the numbers, you have to see both sides of the energy. You have to understand that balanced energy represents the higher self. We do not necessarily always vibrate to the balanced definitions of our numbers, especially in the early part of our lives. This can be part of our soul growth as well. This is why there are so many positive and negative attributes to each of the numbers. So a good way to look at the numbers is to look at them, you know, feel them. And actually feel the energy of the numbers. That's my best possible advice that I can give someone who is interested in studying numerology. All right. One thing that I did want to, I don't know if I got to it yet. I don't think I did, but the Visible by Numbers newsletter. I have been offering each week to the listeners, if you go to or if you email me at visiblebynumbers@yahoo.com and you put newsletter in the title, that automatically will sign you up for the Visible by Numbers newsletter. Now, once a month, I publish a newsletter on the subject of numerology, and I try to make it fun, and it's a little bit informative, too. And it really does help to give you additional insight into numerology. I also do everything from discussing really great books to some really wonderful websites that I've found. And there's also news about my work and my workshop in it. So if you take the time to sign up for the Visible by Numbers newsletter, if you do that within the next, let's say, 15 minutes, I will take do a drawing from the people that signed up for it, and I'll actually do a free reading for you. So if you're listening, if you've always wanted a numerology reading, if you want to see what it's like in depth, email me at visiblebynumbers@yahoo.com, put newsletter in the title, and there'll be a drawing for a free reading, and I'll give you a call, or I'll email you back, and you'll find out fairly soon. Okay, I've only got a minute left of the show, so I do hope that, you know, I'm struggling here trying to get you to understand the soul lessons, and I hope that helps make some sense for you. Please, by all means, visit my website at www.visiblebynumbers.com. If you have a question, email me at visiblebynumbers@yahoo.com. Just a pleasure being with you this evening. I'm so happy to be here and happy that you joined me. And as always, I wish you peace, love, and abundance. Have a great evening, people. See you next week.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening, and be well.